continually?
Gemayim, hey, omed aleph. So, continuously gemayim. Zora shnei minim bedikah, shnei minim bechurba, shnei minim bechalkan gader. Now, we said in the Mishnah that according to Chachamim, if you're zoreach into the zore ka'aka, harezek kilayim, which is a very strange way of looking at things. I mean, because I used to think in my naivety that if you have a field of one type of thing, let's say the field of chitin, so then kilayim means not to plant zore. Is that what you thought? Don't they start and plant it in a field of chitin? Now this Mishnah seems to say that no, actually kilayim is a totally different idea. Kilayim means don't plant kilayim. Don't take two different minim at the same time and throw them into a field to plant them. It's a whole different way of looking at it. I mean, if that's the way you're looking at it, and then the extension into the common vision of what kilayim is actually an issur rabbanan, that's what this would imply. So then it really shouldn't matter how it is that the seeds land. Let's say that you throw the seeds. You're doing an act of kilayim. And now it happens to be that one lands on one side of a fence and one lands on the other side of the fence. So what? What are you going to say? Well, when these things grow, there'll be a fence in the middle, so therefore the fruit of a field, the fence is a machalic. Right. Yeah, but the issue isn't planting in a field of, it's planting simultaneously.
But I did a field.
You did. But I go according. So then what's an afghanita? What are you telling me that I have to plant it together? You should say, if I have a field and I plant it in a field. But if you're telling me it goes according to my act of planting, so if this is where it happens to land, well who cares? I should say that even if I'm Zora Shnei Minim in a Bika meaning I have a broad valley. I take the two Minim, I throw them, the wind catches them, throws one to one side and one to the other side. Or in a Kurva, an area that has nothing else around it. And the reason that we're saying the Bika Kurva is the introduction to the Yerushalmi sophisticated understanding of what really Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the Mishnah. What the Yerushalmi needs to define according to Rabbi Yehuda is how do we compress an area into a field? If something is not defined as a field, that means it's almost a modern concept of creating the closed area that's the field. In other words, a churva, a bika, is not a field. By definition, it's not a field. Even if things are growing in it, it's not a field. Something has to make something a field. It's surrounded by something. In other words, what articulates, what defines, what delimits a field? So that's surprisingly incredible. What?
So then, sometimes on the road of dying, it's a definition. So then.
I don't think so. Maybe. It's an interesting thought. But in any event, what delimits the field? Okay, so what the Rishonim that have come out saying, surprisingly enough, is that what Rabbi Yehuda actually needs three for is that two act as the delimiters and the other one acts as the plant. Wild. Right, which is a whole different way of looking at it, which we'll see. So that it's almost as if they become the getter of the field. They're the delimiters of the field. And that's what we're getting into now. So our first thought is like this. In other words, a naive reading of the Mishnah seems to say that the act of planting kilayim is kilayim. And it has nothing to do really in the end with where it's going to land. At least, maybe you'll say according to Bermuda it does, because he says you need three, which makes it suspicious. It's got to be a soda. But according to Chachomim, that's Bermuda. But according to Chachomim, what's the difference where it lands? So would you say that too? That it would be high? Says Rav Yochanan, well no, in that case, it would be plusher. Because the distance between the plants is the distance that makes them non-kilayim. Whereas he says, since you planted them as kilayim, then, and that was your dot, that you were doing an act of kilayim, What happens in the end in terms of the actual growth is not important. It's what you did. The issue is the Zuria. Well, the Chachamim also don't seem to need Sada. They say someone's going to Chachamim now. They say you only need two. It's Rabbi Shimon. Except that this is the greatest harchaka from the concept of Sada imaginable, because we only look at the act. Right? So that's exactly the point that we're saying. L'chora, if we're only looking at the act, Reish Lakish is saying, if that's the case, we're really and truly only looking at the act. Because L'manachah, if you only have to be marked on Sada, so then you agree with Rabbi Yehuda. If you're not marked on Sada, you're just saying, look, Izra, it's the act of Zariah Kalani, so then you did the act of Zariah Kalani. That was your intent. The Zana Dovergen and Miskavim, you did the act of Zariah. Who cares what happens afterwards? You did what you did.
But it has to be able to work, right? You couldn't throw it on a gas ball.
Oh, next piece. Motor Rabbi Shimon, Motor Reish Lakish rather, I mean, obviously, if you're going to throw it on something that doesn't grow, agavi patra, I have no idea what that is, agavi slaim, agavi trashim, I mean, the only thing I think of patra actually means on a mushroom bed. But then,
not the big stone that they grind olive
in? Is that what it's called, a petra?
Like
what is petra mean? Where does petra come from?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so then that's it. So it's different. The city of Petra.
It's stone.
Right? So then that's what it is. Agabi Petra. Agabi Slaim. Agabi Krashim. It's a protected stone. So Petra, you're saying, is a very large stone. So it was an area of smaller stones. Krashim is flint. But it's areas in which you did not do an act of planting at all, because by definition, throwing seeds over such an area doesn't plant anything. So then you can't say, Reish Lakish isn't suggesting that it's waving seeds in the air that's planting. He's saying, if you did an act of planting, you know, over an area that's plantable, you planted two minim simultaneously, however they work out in the end, that doesn't matter. There's no fields, we don't care about fields.
This is
the Chachom.
This doesn't mean the sea, does it? This means the yam where they grind the olives.
I doubt it.
Because it's also stone.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know that. But, I mean, it wouldn't make it enough to mean it. You're saying whether it's water or whether it's stone or whether it's...
No.
Kurva means ground undefined. Doesn't mean a Kurva building. That's why I was marked in that discussion. Because Yushami always refers to undefined area as Kurva, not as wilderness. No, because Kurva near refers to the state of the Sardis, which may be delimited by a ghetto, so it's a different issue.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a petra and a
stone? Why
do we have both?
I don't know. Motor of Shimon ben Lakish. Mizorea amenat lakal kanigabem. True patur. Furthermore, Reb Shimon ben Lakish is also motor. That if your intent is to do the type of Zuria that should not be mixed, then you're not doing a Zuria of Kelayim. But the act of Zuria of Kelayim is defined by your intent and reasonable action to create a simultaneous planting of two meanings. Omer Rabbi Bok at Tagina. No, that's not the word we use Zorea in Tuna. That's not what Zorea means. What you refer to, Prophet called Zara Shayu Zorea?
Right.
Okay, but that's not because of the Zara, it's the Kiyu Tan. I mean, it's not fair to make a deal like that, and that doesn't have to do with the Zorea. The Kiyu Tan mind, when you
think of the same. That in that same process, we're now looking at it from the spokesman.
Yeah, but you must admit it becomes much farther fetched. Sure. Amar Rabbi Bok HaTignaya Moda Reb Shimon ben Lakish in Shabbos. That's just enough. By the way, obviously, although an intent over here for Zuria is the definition of the act of Zuria, not the actual Zuria itself, by Shabbos, when Zorea is a Malacha, By no stretch of the imagination does the malacha of Zareah consist of throwing seeds. The malacha of Zareah refers to, just as the malacha of Hotzah, refers to landing. Because over there, the Torah's makbid on the malacha is much shevet that achieves something. And so, but it comes to Shabbos, which is like Shabbat, the very fact that it should even be necessary to say this brings out powerfully what Rav Shimon ben Lakish was saying. In other words, it sounds crazy. But because, indeed, as we're all shocked, that you mean to say that Shlokish really holds that the act of throwing something is an act of Zriya, even though afterwards it's scattered and...
If the wind came and blew before it hit the ground, so it didn't...
Into two different places.
Right.
Right. It's still high. That's the whole point. So you might think, okay, but that's the case of by Shabbos would be the same thing. No, he's motivated by Shabbos. Because by Shabbos we define a malacha as having achieved something, not as the act. Now, Matnita Pliga al-Rav Yochanan, it certainly appears that the following argues on Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if it lands on either side of the getter, you're potter. But here it says, Hazorea kitav v'sorah ke'achat. Now, what do you mean, ke'achat? According to him, it's not the zuriya that makes a difference, ke'achat. According to him, if you'd have one thing on the ground, and then you'd put another thing next to it, that's ke'achat. Because, I mean, obviously he's saying, no, don't look at the act. Look at what's achieved. Okay, well, look at what's achieved. What I have to have it in my hand at the same time? Plant a seed and come back tomorrow and plant the other knee next to it, and that's Kelayim. But the Mishnah says specifically that it has to be Ka'achat. So what does that mean according to Rabbi Yochanan? What is the implication of Achat according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan surprisingly says, Potala, Benetunim Betoshkisha al Shisha. He says that means Ka'achat within the same area. Because the Omer of Yochanan Eino Chayev Ach Yu Shisha Al Shisha Mukrachim B'Tov Tzedei Tzvuha O Mukafin Gader. Meaning of the word Ka'achat, according to this, is within the same defined area, not within your hand. Mm-hmm. That's the concept of Ka'achat, which is completely and totally different. In other words, he's saying like this. You, when you plant Kelayim, have to be planting a seed in a field that's Kelayim. So therefore, something needs to make it a field. Otherwise, why is it Ka'achat? That's the point. If there's two different meaning in an area, what makes that Ka'achat? Explain to me. Because you artificially define, you see a field there. Why? Because it's within Shisha Tfachim. I don't see a field. I see that the field actually begins there and ends over here, and then another field starts over there. But what makes it a field?
What makes you see it as
this? Well, I don't know. What makes you see it as the same?
Everything.
Well, it's a chaotic world out there.
Can't see the field
for the field. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's the whole point. The point of Ka'achat is exact opposite of what Rish Lakish is saying. Rish Lakish is saying that the Ka'achat means that there's no Hagdara of the field, there's only Hagdara of Zriya. I'm saying Ka'achat is the exact opposite. There's no Hagdara of Zriya, there's only Hagdara of the field. And therefore, there's got to be something there. Either there's a getter that defines in the field, or it's an area that is kalua, it's bare, in the middle of another field. So you could see that this is defined by the plants around it, but it's got to be something or other that makes it a field. That's the shot. And this is a completely different approach. Now, Bahada, Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Kelayim. Now, obviously, in these cases that we've been discussing, it appears that Rav Yehuda would hold that it's not Kelayim. Now, why would he hold that it's not Kelayim? I mean, I thought that's what Kelayim is. I mean, you're saying that Rav Yochanan says that the Tanna Kamma holds that planting two seeds in a field that is mugdar with a getter around it, that is Kelayim. So then when Rav Yehuda says, no, you need to have three seeds. So what do you mean? So in other words, he holds that Rav Yochanan's case is no good. That's amazing. How could he hold that that's not Kelayim? So what is Kelayim? If they're put into an area with a muk of getter, they're within within Shisha talking, what makes it not Kelayim? Amri Rabbi Zira, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yehuda Kadaita, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita all over. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is, Omar, the Stay Yerek Tefach, he says what? The shear of Har Chatah, when it comes to a Stay Yerek, is one Tefach. Okay? And therefore, since by, yes, albeit we're not talking about Yerakot over here, we're talking about Sa'oran, Kitim, and so on. But since he holds by a Tefach, by Yerek rather, a Tefach is sufficient, he must hold that a Tefach is the Ikerdin, Midyaraita, in which things are viewed as being the same, and we want to be Mashmir to make Shishat Vachi. Okay? So, Mamela, if you have a case in which you were Zorah to and so on, then the two seeds on either side of the one seed, they in fact create a field of a Tefach in between. So they compress the field in such a way that now it becomes Kilayim. But if you wouldn't have that, the fact that the two seeds fall within an area which is itself Shisha Tvachim, by Shisha Tvachim, and has a getter around it, that doesn't bother me at all. So now, says the Gemara, the problem is, if you're going to say that, Omer Adyoti, you know, if you don't like this shot, I'll tell you what to say about it. Mandaboy Makshayal Hadid Rabbi Zera. Anybody who doesn't like this weird approach of Rabbi Zera, he sure has what to ask on it. Because what you should say right away is, Yovit Hadid Rabbi Yudah Midrabon. I mean, what Rabbi Yudah is saying when he says Tefah does not necessarily mean that there is a fundamental argument between him and the Rabbanan. They're just arguing about the Shiurim, right? I mean, why don't we say like this? The Rabbanan holds that when it comes to the Isser, that the Shir is a Beit Rova. When it comes to the Isser of getting Malkus, the Shir is Shishal Shisha. So in other words, there's an Isser Rabbanan, Beit Rova, and then there's the Chi of the Arisa, which is Shishal Shisha. Okay, fine. So now, according to Yehuda, you're telling me Yehuda only asks is Tefach. That's the Gami Malka. But if there's an Isser, there are the Arisa on Tefach, so then Yehuda should say that Shishal Shisha, at least is Oskim and Rabbanan. And it's all that happened is he moves it down one notch to a various levels, right? Okay, but if that's the case, why does it say Yehuda Matir? You get Yehuda Matir? There's something more fundamental going on here. Otherwise, it shouldn't say he's Matir. Matir means even L'chatzila. It shouldn't be Mutzah L'chatzila. What happened to Rabbona? That's what bothers me about this whole thing. And it seems like there's a more fundamental issue over here that we haven't really touched. Nobody's really explaining this here. So I'm stuck with my mission. I mean, you're saying that even if it's Shisha, Shisha, and Rabbi Yehuda still says Matir. Okay. Now, we now understand Rabbi Yochanan, who explains this din of Ke'achat. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who of course has a completely different approach, for Kasha, my time as Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, what is Rabbi Lakish's reason? That he's saying that a Ke'achat, according to him, means that it comes out of his hand at one time. Doesn't matter where it lands. Even if there's six fucking between them and so on, right? So Mikivan Shoti Mitok Yado Rizera is Chayv. Vatanina. Now, Rav Yehuda says about that case. Rav Yehuda Omer Eino Kilayim. So now, why exactly, according to Rav Yehuda, would it not be Kilayim if the definition of Kilayim goes according to Zriya? What are they arguing in? Vatanlo. He explains Acha'a Shetanua. That the Isser of Kilayim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is included in being. In other words, it's very confusing because Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino, Kilayim, Achu, Shei, Chitim, and Sa'orim, which is mashma. I agree with what you're saying, that you need Chitim, and Sa'orim, Ka'acha, but I hold that you need Shei, Chitim, and Sa'orim. But that doesn't really make sense because Mamadasha, if the din is the din of Zaria, the way Rabbi Reish Lakish is understanding the Chachamim, that we couldn't care less where it lands, so then what you're saying is Rabbi Yehuda the Chalal disagrees, don't you see? If you're going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda holds, the way we've been describing it, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda holds a field needs to be delimited within the parameters that are set down by the act of Zaria. Okay, beautiful, nice, very interesting, sophisticated, and so on. Good. But according to Reish Lakish, you can't say any of that. Because according to Reish Lakish, where the Yudah seems to just be adding on to the Chachamim. The Chachamim says 2 seeds, he says 3 seeds. But if the Chachamim, the way he's learning, holds that it don't matter where it lands, so you can't say that the extra seed is needed for delimiting. You don't need delimiting, according to Reish. Why does Rabbi Yudah simply say throw in another seed? But essentially, I agree. Fundamentally, Kalanchus is throwing something. So this seems to be all other issue over here. Well, Lucky's Moda, when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, there are two components that it needs to have also landed. So in other words, it's the Zriya in a way that lands within the Shir. It says, Tony Rabbi Yehuda Matir, it says Rabbi Yehuda is Matir no matter what. That's what he says, Rabbi Yehuda Matir unless. So in other words, Lo'afilu Nacha, he's saying, even if it landed, so what did he say, Matir? Why is he Matir? Let's go back to the case. The same case of the Rabbana, the Yehuda would say that it's Mutter, even though Lamaisa, if it had landed within the Shishal Shisha, or within the Tefach, I mean, I see, so it would still be Mutter. How could it be Mutter? There is a way it's Mutter. I'm ready to love because this is Reish Lakish's Shita all over. Reish Lakish holds. This is Reish Lakish Kedaita. The Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, B'Shem Chizkiah, Rosh Tur Mikurva Mutar. As long as you can create, remember, that what we have over here is essentially a blank field. We don't have a well-defined field, right? And the whole point of Rabbi Yehuda is that the field is all. Okay, so now according to Rabbi Yehuda, is all. In other words, that's an absolute requirement. It's a such cost, Loki's Rashi line. It needs to be a delimited field from the line. Now, since Chizkiah holds that a Rosh Tur in a Churva is Mutter, a Rosh Tur means if you can create a diagram, in the broadest sense, if you plant a field so that it looks like an arrow coming into a box. Right? You know, you see all these weird shapes in the air where people plant really strange, their fields very strangely, right? So over here the guy creates one field that's coming in like an arrow, like the head of a shore, comes to a tip, a point, and now the other field is delineated as a box. Says now, Chizkiah, that even if you're in a churva, there's nothing now that defines the field. Yeah, all the books, here's a big one.
Imagine time.
Okay. For those of limited imagination, we can now see the Rosh Tur, all these diagrams. So now, even if you don't have Shisha talking about Shisha talking, it's okay because it's been graphically redefined, right? So now what Chizkiah says is, even if you have a churva, you don't know I'm an area that is well-defined graphically, and now you're planting a chita and a seora, so you can still look at it as if it's a Rosh Tur, missing all the rest. I mean, why not? Again, because since what we're looking at is an open field that has no sense of being delimited in any way. An open area, exactly. It's a churva. So it's not delimited. So who's to say that what we're looking at isn't the Rosh Tur? Use your imagination. This chita is actually part of an arrow that consists of a million other seeds of chita. It's the first one. And this seora is part of a box. As long, because unless it's delimited closely, that doesn't allow it to break out, right? So we need to actually squeeze it into an area, so then we can always imagine it as a Rosh Tur. Therefore, says Reish Lakish, there's no reason why this would become Arthur. So in this case, if you only had two meanings, you only had a Chita and a Seora, by definition, that could always be a Rosh Tur. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. How could you ever answer two things if it's a Rosh Tur? Okay? So, Wait a second, so this is three. Why can't you just do that to me? I thought a few shneichikim is the aura. I don't understand. Why can't the two be another Rosh Torah? That's not going to help anything. If you're saying I can graphically create anything I want to draw the Rosh, draw the square around the two, put the other one as a, do whatever you want. So that doesn't make any sense. You just blew a review out of the water because you can't make it ever collide. So to be out there, I think we're shneichikim is the aura. There's a Gemara, damn right. Sachem, you're right. Believe it or not, it's true. What can mean? Actually, shneichikim is the aura. Okita the shneichikim. Okita atas the aura. Wait a second. Did I not read the Mishnah? Aha. You read the Mishnah, right? So what you're missing is a very important piece of information. There was obviously an additional definer, an additional delimiter. What happened over here is that there was potelo, chitamikan, the chitamikan, gedermikan, the gedermikan, usora chavusha, the emta. What we have is a field delimited as a crushed seor between two chitim on either side of it and a fence on either side. Something needed to be there. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Enochinami, all Rabbi Yehuda is saying is the most that you can ever, when it's the absolute minimum shear that you'll ever get away with, calling something Kalayan, is if it was three things that you throw. That's an act of Ria Kalayan. Why? Because we can imagine a case in which throwing those three things makes a field of Kalayan by delimiting one of the minutes. And that delimitation is what creates the Tzedah of Kalayan, believe it or not. And because there's no way for me to imagine a Rosh Torah. There's something in the way. And that getter, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean literally a getter, but that element that prevents us from imagining a graphic Rosh Torah on each one of the things is what's essential in order to create a minimal shear of Kelayim. Omer Rabbi Matanya, how does it came out? She'ein sham churva. What we're saying over here is that there's no area that is harut. It can't be. This is what I want, which I never understood. It's only if there's no area that I can jump out to, no area that's undefined. But if there's any area, yesham churva, if there's any area that's undefined, then I'll take that area and in my brain I'll construct an image of a Rosh Torah in that area. So there needs to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a field that is totally delimited. So if you're coming now to describe the minimal act of Kalayin, says Rabbi Yehuda, the minimal act in which an act of Zuriya is Zuriya Kalayin is 3 feet.